is Radio Superior 1939, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1939. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear radio as it may have sounded in 1939. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the lake station, KUWS in Superior, Wisconsin. It's Saturday, November 4th, 1939. This is Jack McKenna welcoming you to our little show. My red-haired partner, Lou Martin, is standing by with the 6 o'clock news. Rapid Ray Paulson has the sports. We have an editorial about the movie Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. And Harriet Farrig will be in with the news, too, about the annual charity ball. Invitations are going out. I can't wait.
But you haven't gotten an invitation since that incident back in 35.
I'm sure they've forgotten all about that by now, Lou. Heaven's sakes. Was it my fault the punch table broke?
Yes.
I'm sure they won't hold that against me. Not since 1935. Well, the 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Campbell Lumber of Superior. Get a new roof and pay installments of just $5 a month at Campbell Lumber, 1805 Tower Avenue in Superior. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and listeners. President Roosevelt has signed the new neutrality bill into law. It'll open the way for arms shipments to Britain, France, and Germany, as long as they pay cash and carry the weapons in their own ships. This changes the 1935 neutrality bill, which outlawed the sale of arms to warring nations. It was the focal point of a 44-day special session called by President Roosevelt after the war in Europe began. His signature allows $1 billion in war orders to leave the East Coast on board convoys to Europe. It'll be a boost to United States industry. The bill is controversial. The entire Wisconsin delegation, led by Senators La Follette and Wiley, voted against it. They say it will draw the United States into the war. In New York, giant trucks are rumbling along the waterfront in an endless stream, signaling the lid's off, and war cargo will begin to spill from packed warehouses. Maritime officials hope to have a more efficient system so that America's number one port isn't clogged, as it was from 1914 to 1918. From Paris, news that the war remains quiet in what some are now calling the phony war, now that Poland has been crushed by Germany. From Moscow, there are ominous signs that the USSR and Finland may be engulfed in a conflict. Observers there are wondering out loud if Soviet Russia will march into Finland and grab territory from her little Baltic neighbor. The Communist Party newspaper Pravda is accusing Finnish Foreign Minister Elgis Erko of threatening the Soviet Union. Mr. Erko is in Helsinki and denies making threats. The Soviet Union is demanding that Finland give up land north of Leningrad in the Karelian Isthmus in order to protect that city. Russia promises other lands in exchange. Campbell Lumber News Time is 6:05. Jack McKenna has a few words from our sponsor.
Thank you, Lewis. I'm quoting Harriet now. Hey, listen to this, folks, about Campbell Lumber Company and Supply. Free delivery, no order too large to handle or too small to merit our careful attention. Remodel your home, folks. We'll loan you the money. Terms of $5 a month. Can you beat that? I don't think so. Phone 770 or 517 for estimates on general remodeling. Garages, attic bedrooms, enclosed porches, recreation rooms, bathrooms, kitchens. $5 a month and we'll finance it. How can you beat a deal like that? You can't. Don't even try. Campbell Lumber and Supply Company in Superior. Lou.
Former Douglas County Sheriff and Superior City Treasurer George Ostrom has died. Mr. Ostrom was forced to retire a few weeks ago because of an illness, which eventually took his life. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Governor Blaine appointed Mr. Ostrom sheriff in 1922, Lou, after Arthur Buchanan was appointed chief of police. Born in Alson, Gentland, Sweden. In 1869, Mr. Ostrom would have turned 70 later this month. He became a sailor at 15 years old, calling on many ocean ports around the world, mostly on whaling vessels. He arrived in Superior in 1903 with his wife Anna, who survives him. Arrangements are being handled by Down's funeral home, Lou.
Three Superior youths miraculously escaped death this afternoon after stealing a car in Superior, ramming it into a ditch near Maple, sending it airborne, and having the flying car land right side up. The boys are unhurt. The car was parked on Tower Avenue and taken at noon. Witnesses say the car was on Trunk Highway F when it hit the ditch, flew 20 feet in the air, and sent the boys running for their lives after it landed. Mayor Bryn Ostby submitted the names of eight engineers to Duluth Mayor R.C. Burkholt today. This is part of an agreement of cooperation in building the Duluth to Superior High Bridge span. Both cities must approve the engineers. Children took part in a free medical examination at the Crippled Children's Hospital in the Webster Memorial Building in Superior Saturday. Clinic Chairman Mrs. T.A. McDougall joins us from Webster. Good afternoon, Mrs. McDougall. It must have been a long day.
Oh, I'm still trying to recover. Mrs. McDougall this, Mrs. McDougall that. If I were allowed, I'd wear sneakers instead of pumps.
Got the old dogs barking at you, eh?
Dogs barking?
That's just a bad telephone line, Mrs. McDougall. So, how many children turned out?
160 children are happier and healthier because of our one-day clinic. We had several children from Red Cliff and Bad River reservations near Bayfield and Ashland, and many other kids from Sawyer, Burnett, and Washburn counties. Sweet kids, too. But, oh, it just goes to show you how much that free medical help is needed if our children are to grow up strong and healthy. You know, a lot of people these days can't afford a doctor, and house calls cost a lot of money.
I understand you had a lot of help from around the region.
Oh, yes, we did, Mr. Lewis. Codeless Age, Harold Hansen, William Berg, Fred Stoner, and Roth Brothers all chipped in to help transport these children. And a free hot lunch was supplied, too. Oh, it warms the heart, it does. For many children, braces came off their legs. Crutches were thrown away. The help they needed was there. Thanks to Drs. Walter Blount and Ralph Carter, they're orthopedic doctors from Milwaukee.
Thank you, Mrs. T.A. McDougall, chairman of the Crippled Children's Clinic.
And keep those feet up.
That must be the bad phone line.
That's the news, Jack.
I've never been called a bad phone line before. Let's check out the weather, friends, for this Saturday, November 4th, 1939. Unsettled conditions tonight, and not as cool, with a low tonight around 33 degrees. In a high tomorrow in the neighborhood of 45 degrees. Not a bad neighborhood, and not bad for November, folks. Let's hear some good old Saturday night oldies from the early part of the 1930s decade. It's Ben Selvin and his orchestra, and happy days are here again on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS.
and troubles are gone. There'll be no more from now on. Happy days are here again. The skies above are clear again. So let us sing the song of happy cheer again. Happy, happy, happy days are here again.
Yes, nothing like the old songs of our decade. We've just enjoyed the singing of The Trio and Happy Days Are Here Again, a rousing number made popular when FDR was first elected in 1932. Hiya, Lou.
Some folks on Capitol Hill aren't so happy these days about a movie just released. They say it reflects poorly on Congress.
Let me guess. It's, Gone with the Wind.
Nope.
Arsenic and Old Face, Old Lace?
It stars Jimmy Stewart.
I love Jimmy Stewart.
Our guest, Superior Evening Telegram publisher Morgan Murphy, will read from today's editorial about it. Good evening, Mr. Murphy.
Good evening, sir. There was consternation in Washington when congressmen and newspaper men got around to realizing the full impact of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. It dawned on both groups that they were being laughed at with loud guffaws and that their dignity had been ruffled. Some congressmen were especially indignant and said so in censurable language. The hero of the piece, they said, was a wee bit wild. Perhaps they forgot the late lamented Huey Long. Furthermore, the congressman thought the hero was inordinately dumb. No one, they said, could be named to their august body if he were as naive as Hollywood's conception of a senator. On that point alone, thousands of citizens would be willing to put up a stiff debate. Maybe the film isn't exactly authentic, but it's good, clean American fun. If any group has a right to be sore, it's the newspapers. That scene showing a political boss running the newspapers of an entire state simply by talking over the phone is fanciful in the extreme, but the newspapers aren't howling. It's another sample of Hollywood's handiwork. Not all kosher, maybe, but a spirited bit of entertainment. And in these terrible times, it's important that no one lose their sense of humor. Lou?
I liked the movie. It was good fun.
Seems to me you got a little teary-eyed at the end.
Seems to me I was just getting over a cold.
Fellas, I've got to go before I get tangled up in one of your discussions again. I usually regret that. I'll see you at the charity ball, Lou.
Hey, what about me?
It's invitation only. We all remember what happened in 1935.
Was it my fault that the punch table broke?
Yes.
Sorry, old buddy. Maybe I can speak to somebody about it.
I think you'll have to bribe someone and promise to stay away from the punch table.
And promise not to polka.
Especially during a waltz.
There are polka waltzes.
I'm leaving now. Good luck.
Good night, Morgan Murphy, publisher of the Superior Evening Telegram.
Why does he always say good luck instead of good night?
He's wishing me good luck.
Oh, yeah. Knock over one little punch table and you're marked for life. But good listeners, we know we can have plenty of fun in front of the old Philco tonight. Here's Ruth Etting and Button Up Your Overcoat from our Saturday Night Oldies show on Station KUWS.
You belong to me. tum-tum.
Up your overcoat. Soon we'll have to. With Ruth Edding on the Martin and McKenna Show. Now, time for none other than Rapid Ray Paulson with the sports. Hiya, Ray.
Hiya, Jake. And good evening, fans of the sporting world. Even as we speak, Coach Ted Werrett's football Yellow Jackets are in Eau Claire, playing for the undisputed title. But fans, they must beat or tie the Eau Claire Teachers to capture the title. And Coach Werrett is without his senior stars, banged up in last week's Stevens Point contest. Out this week is ace fullback Fran Paquette, senior tackle Art Meller, star end Ray Lyle, and co-captain Bud Rich. Coach Werrett is going to need to keep his fingers and toes crossed to beat those tough blue goals. Northland College's homecoming game in Ashland today was an out-and-out success, sport fans. Not only did they beat Itasca Junior College of Coleraine, but they got their first victory in six tries on their last try of the season. In fact, led by quarterback Glidden, they scored their first touchdown of the season in front of the home folks. The Shawamigan Ski Club has announced its plans for this winter's big sport weekend. It'll be sometime in January, and boy, it sounds like fun. There'll be a ski jumping contest on Mount Valhalla, a big winter parade in Washburn, fancy skating exhibitions. Every Washburn business will build a snowman decorating the business district. And Jake, you'll love this. A lutefisk eating contest at the Mount Valhalla Clubhouse.
Blah! I'm keeping January open.
You know, they say you can smell the lutefisk in cornucopia 10 miles away. Well, this is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport.
So, Ray, did you get an invite for the charity ball?
Well, you know that table you broke rain punch on the formal dresses of about a dozen grand dames that dark night? You have to admit, that was a pretty spectacular collision between polka-ing man and immovable object.
Well, I'll admit, polka-ing is the most dangerous dance.
Kind of like all-star wrestling to bad music. But I'll put in a good word for you, though.
Oh, thanks, Ray. I feel the sympathy rising out there. Oh, yeah. Here's Duke Ellington and his Cotton Club Orchestra, featuring the Bing Crosby, Harry Barris, and Al Rinker as the Rhythm Boys. This is Three Little Words on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Thank you.
The snappy Saturday Night Oldies music of Duke Ellington and the singing of the Rhythm Boys with Three Little Words on station KUWS.
It's my pleasure to introduce the Belle of Any Ball, Society Editor Harriet Farring.
And you're the Prince of Hearts, Lewis. Good evening, all. There's so much happening. The next meeting of the Wilmarth High School PTA will be at the Latimer Building in Ashland, November 9th. Ladies, this will be such good fun. And for once, the fathers will be serving refreshments, led by Ashland Daily Press editor John Chappell. The Ladies' Aid Society of Brule Presbyterian Church were thrilled at this week's meeting at the home of Mrs. Webster. They heard stories by Mrs. George Griffith about missionary work in India. The oldest church at the head of the lakes is celebrating its 84th birthday this weekend. The Reverend Alvin Carlson says they're sending out 700 invitations for the event.
I didn't get an invitation for that either.
Yes, Jack. First Presbyterian Church was established in Superior in 1855. A big Superior welcome to Miss Darlene Reed as she starts her new charge as missionary at City Missionary Union. Her headquarters will be at the Scandinavian Salvation Army Building at Clough Avenue. The invitations have been sent out for this year's charity ball. The December 1st social event of the year is a benefit for the children's home. Committee members John Banks and George Newton are working hard to make this year's affair the best ever. This is so important. Children from 3 months to 16 years old need our help to keep the Superior Children's Home going. An effort is being made to give these tots and teens as close to a normal home as possible. And Jack and Lewis, I have a confession to make. Jack deserves to go to the ball, maybe more than anyone in town.
Because he's so much like the kids at the home.
Now, Harriet, don't say another word. In fact, I'm going to play some music before you say any more.
I'm going to tell all, Jack.
Oh, no, you're not. Friends, hang on. From 1930, let's enjoy Grace Hayes singing On the Sunny Side of the Street on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
Shadows. Then one morning you passed, and I brightened at last. Now I greet the day and complete the day with the sun in my heart. All my worry blew away when you taught me how to say, grab your coat and get your hat, leave your worry on the doorstep, just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear the pitter-patter and it happens? step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover crossed over, and if I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Swell music for your enjoyment, good listeners, of Grace Hayes and On the Sunny Side of the Street from 1930 on station KUWS.
I'm going to tell, and you can't stop me.
What if you get into trouble?
There's more to it about the broken punch table and Polka Jack. He's already in enough trouble, enough hot water, Harriet.
You know how once in a while I can be a little clumsy. Especially if I have a glass of red wine.
Clumsy in a cute way.
Oh, boy.
Well, Jack didn't knock over that punch table in 1935. I did.
Oh, but it was an accident. She was two glasses of red wine clumsy.
But everybody saw Jack ram the table as he spun around.
He really wasn't doing a polka. It was just the way he looked when he tried to stop the table from collapsing.
I never claimed to be graceful, although sometimes I can be elk-like.
My dress was caught on one of the folding legs of the table, and I gave it a big tug. Jack saw it before I did and came running. But by the time he got there, the punch bowl was already airborne. But instead of letting me take the blame and embarrassment, Jack let everyone think he was the one who did it.
Oh, shucks.
Which is logical.
Very gallant, Jack. But it's time the truth be told. And because of that, I'm going to insist that you and Lewis come to the ball as my guys. It's time Jack be allowed back in high society.
Why, Jack, that is gallant. And we all thought that you were doing a polka by yourself.
Oh, right. Who polkas alone, anyway? That's kind of the pinnacle of odd man out. But hey, I'll go to the charity ball, Harriet. That's great. Won't everyone be surprised to see me there?
They may pass out bibs and aprons for everyone's protection.
All right, Lewis. All's well that ends well. Right, folks? I'm going home to practice my polka.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Kidding. Just kidding. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing, of course, and they make stain-proof punch. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna saying nighty-night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1939, a weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Don Mason and Gene Andreese. All events reported on Radio Superior 1939 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week, at this time, for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.